Hebrews 9. I mean, excuse me, Hebrews 10. There's a great many things that can't be understood by us because us meaning Gentile world licks, people that have divorced themselves from the Old Testament. One of the biggest things that can't be understood is that within the temple of God, where the temple stood, and even within the tabernacle as it was the model in the wilderness, there was no place to sit down. You could never sit. And the idea was, is as long as the temple was standing, you could never rest. And so to be in a temple of God, I mean, there was no seats like there are in modern churches that are called temples or synagogues. It was impossible for you to sit down. You couldn't sit down. I mean, it was like the biggest no-no in the world. The guards would come and get you and tell you you were a Gentile. And so the only exception, excuse me, there's one exception, because at the start of it there's this outside, the temple is it's concentric squares, so that there was a huge area that was literally part of the temple, that was considered part of the temple. It was the court of Gentiles, and in the court of Gentiles you could sit down. Then the next level up was the court of women. And in the court of women, you could sit on the porch. But once you, then the next upward court was the court of Israel, and then the court of priests. But from the court of, the boundary of the court of women and the court of Gentiles, from that point up to the Holy of Holies and the altar, you could not sit. And no one that was in one of these, remember I told you before that there were 144,000 priests in the temple. I mean, it's hard for us to consider something that big. And none of the priests and none of the Levites could ever sit and be in the temple. And if you were in the temple and had gone up beyond the court of women, you couldn't sit, even if you're just normal Jaime Swartz or something. I mean, you couldn't sit. Okay, now go to Hebrews 10. The law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the thing, can never with those sacrifices which they had offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Remember, I've told you before, the word shadow there can be, is the word for pattern or schematic. And the idea that you're going to see more and more as we continue on is that temple in the wilderness, or the tabernacle in the wilderness, and the temple was just a schematic for Christ, and it's a schematic drawing of you. It's a schematic drawing of the progression of the renewal of your mind, of the understanding that you have. And because it was a pattern or a schematic, it had to be done over and over and over again until that which was perfect was completed. Okay, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers are once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. We talked about that last week, that the idea, that's the real function of Yom Kippur. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible with the blood of bulls and of goats, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. And then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will. And that's a biggie, because he's saying that this book is the schematic drawing of him. And above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of one of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. I'll get to that in a minute. But this man, after he had offered sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now that's why this is so incredibly important. He sat down. Nobody in history had ever sat down. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool.
He's not just sitting down, he's got his feet up.
For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. I mean, do you understand the grand simplicity of it? By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You're sanctified the instant you say, Father, I'm yours. By the act of saying, Father, I'm yours, that means you're perfect. That's all that religion, that's all that this God stuff is about. It's got to start penetrating. By one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. We are not of those that believe that sanctification is a process. Sanctification is a position. Therefore, the act of saying, Father, I'm yours, has to happen constantly. There is no other response to stimuli. And the act of saying, Father, I'm yours, causes whatever stimuli that there is troubling you to be transformed and see that it's not some stupid thing that the flesh is part doing. It's the Father doing his work without you. I mean, if there was something that I could tattoo on your hands and your foreheads, it would be, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Well, I don't feel perfected. Who gives a shit? That's what faith is. Yeah. Well, I just feel like I'm just going through here and I feel like somebody's against me, or I feel like somebody doesn't like me. Who in the hell cares? Oh, I feel that somebody's slighting me, or I feel this way, or I feel... I mean, go back to your evangelical Christianity. We walk by, not by feelings, but by faith. We walk not by sight, not by senses, not by hearing, not by sound, not by touch. We walk by faith. And the faith declares, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Period. There is no addendum to it. You're not here learning. You're not here in a battle. You're not here being tested for God. You're not here to get a boyfriend. You're not here to get a girlfriend. You're not here to get a husband. You're not here to get a wife. You're here for this one purpose and one purpose alone. And the testimony of this purpose is that by this act, God will give you the desires of your heart, faith. By this act, the heaven and earth hang on his promise, if you wait. eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, that which God that is has prepared for them that wait on him. Oh, but you don't understand my waiting. I've been waiting. No, you haven't. Well, if so-and-so would only do such-and-such, then I'd be... No, you wouldn't. You'd find some other damn thing to hang your flesh on. Oh, well, I just wished I understand. You understand? You don't like what you hear. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. There's only one conditional clause in there. Are you sanctified? Now, you have only a choice, and I want you to make this choice very carefully tonight. If there are any of you that believe, as 99.99% of religions in the world do believe, that sanctification is a process, then I'm going to ask you to leave. Because you're polluting this body of people. You're a spot in the body of Christ. You're a wrinkle on the body of Christ. If you believe as the root cause of your activities that sanctification is a process. Does anybody understand me? The word sanctify, or sanctified, or sanctification, is the Greek word hagios. It's the root for it. The word for saint, the word for holy, the word sanctify, all of them are exactly the same word. You are holy because he is holy and for no other reason. You are holy because he is holy and there's no progression to that. As long as you secretly believe there is a process, then there will be a process. Do you understand that? That's why God is waiting and has been waiting. That's why every person in these scriptures that knew and saw thought that his generation was the last, because he saw only in... He saw what he saw in himself. He saw that he knew that sanctification wasn't a process, and he expected everybody else to know the same damn thing. And he, with vengeance, cut up into little pieces anybody that didn't believe that sanctification was finished. God has been waiting for 2,000 years for a people who know that sanctification is not a process. It's a light switch. And it's as quick as this. That's no sanctification. That's sanctification. Off or on. That's why. I mean, if you needed any other evidence, all of the modern electronic gizmos that you all love so much, all those little doodads that keep your life and make your life easy, they're all digital. It means that there's only
two states
of being, off or on. Every trick that the computer does, well, for Harry, sanctification is a process. I knew he was going to do that. Thank you, Lord.
That's so cool.
That's
so cool.
That's hilarious.
You should learn to see
Harry.
The face.
Harry,
how do you do it, Harry?
Really in there, buddy.
You understand? Everything that was done prior to printed circuitry, or the little circuit boards, transistors, was analog.
Yeah. Which
means that it was a slow learner. It was analog, meaning it was a wave of dimensional, continual changes in the dimension.
It had degrees.
Okay?
It's like this.
But he had a thermometer, an old mercury thermometer that's analog. You know, it'd be like 72, 72 and a half,
okay.
72 and three quarters, and 73. Digital thermometer would be 72, click 73. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like set of states.
Okay.
You don't have to go
zero,
through all that shit.
98.
0, 1.
Yeah, 0, 1. So everything in God, everything in that we know of God is digital. It's either on or off. There's no such thing as a little faith. There's no such thing as faith increasing. There's only total faith or no faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And the act of faith is never something that some great giant of the spirit can teach you. That's why these idiots on radio and television, they're just, I can't tell you how evil they are. Because they are teaching the blaspheming of the name of God in the name of God. To blaspheme means to deny the foundation. And any time anyone in the name of God is teaching progression, they are blaspheming the name of God among the Gentiles. And people say, well, you're just too hard on people. Yeah. Watch God. You want to see hard on people. And what I am concerned about you is that it's each one of you in your heart of hearts believe that your sanctification is a process. You never dare openly to say it. You're either totally in faith or totally out of faith. That's why it doesn't matter whether you're first or last. You're all in the same position. You're either off or on. The only thing that gives it the appearance that there is a process or that life is analog is because of God's long suffering. He is long suffering, not willing that any should perish, and because of that, the evil one has caused the human race to believe in a progression of progress, a progression of sanctification, of getting better. And it was only in relatively recent history that the concept of digital came into being. Those in the spirit knew it back at Abraham's. Cain knew it. Abel knew it. You cannot tolerate. If you are tolerating something and in that position waiting, you are subtly putting God to the test for the purposes of approving Him. That means you are putting God to the test rather than God. You understand what you're doing? You're putting yourself above God. Off or on? Off or on? That's the only, ever and always, the only position. By one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. If I am sanctified, then I am perfected. If I am perfected, there is no thing in time and space that can bother me. If something bothers me, it's because I have believed the lie in that area. So the question is, how do you respond to it? There's only one response to believing a lie. It's, Father, I'm sorry. Do you understand? Off or on? Off or on? The Feast of Tabernacles, the last day of the linear feast, which is the seventh day, is the feast in which only the ons can go any further. Only the on position. Do you understand the implications of this? If you don't, otherwise you believe, if you don't see this, you'll believe in what the scriptures call dispensation. You'll think that your lot will change sometime in the future. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sin and iniquity will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. If you believe in progress, that means you believe that there's another offering for sin. Therefore, you've believed the wrong gospel. You understand that? And the thing that I was talking to Harry about tonight, this understanding causes the path to get so narrow that not even a micron can go past through it. And the narrowness of it is, and it's great subtlety, and I'm picking on Harry, but everybody does it. I really fought this battle. You can't even believe there's a fight. That's how trivial the world comes to you. Yeah, they're down there. I don't even see them. Yeah.
Hey, buddy. Come on.
Well, not only that, I mean, the enemies, if they're your footstool and your feet are as big as mine are, you don't see them.
You know, you talked about digital analog before, but there was something about when Daryl said the example of, you know, going from 72 through each of the things to get, say, from 0 to 100. You've got to go through each one of those points, each one of those stages, and we're saying it's possible to go from 0 to 100 like that. He's already gone through all those stages. I'm sitting here and thinking, wait a minute, that's like getting in an airplane and flying from here to New York. That's analog. You're either here or you're in New York. Mm-hmm. That's how you're not subject to space. Wow. And it's the same thing with time.
Right. That's why...
In or out.
That's why it's so vital. I mean, that's why redeeming the time will take on the path is getting narrower and narrower and narrower. The reason is that your definition of what redeeming the time is getting broader and broader and broader.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you said yesterday morning really struck me. I mean, obviously I've heard it before, but somehow after the Anchor Court, it had more meaning, and that was that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the God. And It had a more meaning to me in the sense that there's some kind of responsibility or some kind of narrowing that's going on, and there it really is. It's almost like there's no turning back, and there's tremendous freedom, and at the same time, you can turn away from that really rapidly, and yet there's no excuse now more than ever for turning back.
I have a feeling of just in the door, because as you've been talking, my whole belief system up until very recently has been analog. You know, I mean, it's been this, I know, even though I haven't allowed myself to think it, that I was going to get better, you know what I mean? That I was,
you'll understand this someday. Or?
Yeah, at first I didn't understand what you were even saying when you were talking tonight about being sanctified. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is a process and you think you're going to be sanctified. That's too out there a word for me. It didn't communicate, but I understand what you're saying, and it's true, but it's, like I said, been very recently that I've just realized that's not the case. It never has been and never will be.
Just so you just heard Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I feel like a whole bunch of things coming together, like the idea of logos. Here now, we could be any place in time, we could be any place in space. This is where we are here now. And that's all.
Well, but again, that's the test of what we're about. It doesn't. We as a body could exist well anywhere in the world at any time.
Yeah.
And in fact, it would be easier. Now I know what you've been saying it would be easier for it to have been 1,000 years ago, or, you know.
Yeah.
Because it would be much easier to be huddled in a cave someplace than to be here now.
Sure.
Okay. Now we're there, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, or the holy of holies is what it really says, by the blood of Jesus. Now, the reason that we are entering into the blood, to the holy of holies, is because on the mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim, is the only place that what I've just said to you is true. Every other place that you can be, there is the appearance of the passage of time. Therefore, there is the appearance of subjective truth. Therefore, you can get by and say, well, I feel this way, or I think this is true. Nobody gives a shit how you feel. They're going to die. Those people that think they're real sincere about how you feel, nobody cares. It's a habit. You know, how are you? Well, if you tell them, they are bored stiff. How you doing, Ollie? Well, I really... See you later. I'll pray for you, brother.
Yeah. Try not to tell me that again.
Just say, I'm fine, okay?
You know, that's why always... I mean, I've burned more people out here. They come up and try to small talk with me.
I used to do that.
But he's getting better.
Personally, he got better. That's an all-second analog now.
Now he's a digital kind of guy.
CD.
How you doing, Ollie?
How
are
you doing today?
What is it, though? How's it hanging?
Very difficult to be your friend.
It's very difficult. I'm beginning to understand why. How you doing, Ollie?
I think you understand my own reaction.
Yeah. All my life, people go, I'm doing fine. One guy. Scares the shit out of me.
Guarantee
that you're wrong. That's right.
It's probably a good thing you didn't move in.
Oh, God. No kidding.
Good morning, Ollie.
Is it?
We have boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies by a new and living way. Now, the reason that tabernacle is built back there, the size of the tabernacle is conditioned by the fact that two cherubim have to be able to fit in the tabernacle. And the cherubim on the mercy seat. I mean, there's 50 million different things we can study, but we're going to talk about the mindset of what it means to live on the mercy seat. I mean, there is no condition that you can be in. That if it is in any way keeping you from knowing that you're seated on the mercy seat, it must be excised with a vengeance. That's what Christ was talking about. That if you want to be his disciple, you must hate your mother, your father, your wife, your husband, your children, yea, and your own life also. You hate anything that keeps that position of being on the mercy seat from being manifested. There is no exception to that. The type of it is the battles in the Old Testament, when every man, woman, and child were totally killed by a merciful God wiped out in order to protect the seed. That has never changed. But we are, because we know this, we have boldness to enter into the throne of grace. The only place, I mean, throne of grace, or entering the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The veil has been rent. And the renting of the veil took place in you. And the renting of the veil took place in you, in here. Let us draw near with a true heart. Well, that sounds wonderful. Test true heart. You know what the word true heart means there? It means fully assured. It means without question. It means without reservation. It means in full assurance of faith. It doesn't say full assurance of your faith. My God, I couldn't walk across the street if I had to depend on the full assurance of my faith. I wouldn't even open my mouth if it depended on the full assurance of my faith. I certainly wouldn't try to teach anybody, because I know the consequences if I teach anybody wrong. If any of the things that we're about depended on my faith, we're dead meat. All right. But you must also see now that none of the things that you're about are dependent on my faith or on your faith. They're dependent on his faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. What does that mean? Well, it means over here in Hebrews 9:14 that you don't have that your conscience has been purged from the dead works that you used to run around and think you had to do. And our bodies washed with pure water. What does that mean? Well, all the waters of purification in the book of Leviticus that you can study. Let us hold fast the profession of faith. Notice our is in italics. Without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works.
I love that.
That sounds like bananas. Definitely a bananas phrase.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, or as the manner of some is. And there's nothing new under the sun. Man has always believed that when he had a problem, he could best solve it alone. When something was troubling him or her, he wouldn't talk about it until they had the solution. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see the day approaching. It's here. The day is here. If you see it approaching, hallelujah. Now, what I want to talk about is that new and living way. That is to say, his flesh. But that's the veil. Now let's look at something. Go back to Exodus 15, I think.
Exodus
15, I think. Israel, as usual, is complaining. Exodus 14.
Beginning?
And there's a whole, not only are they're complaining because this whole damn army of the Pharaoh and all his horses and chariots are right behind him. And they cried in verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness?
The first response to pressure is always sarcastic. I know.
Well, we should die in the wilderness.
That's right.
It's such a Jewish thing to say. What, there were no graves in Egypt?
Yeah, that's right.
You had to beg us.
Did they take us away to die in the wilderness? Or...
Love it.
The Jackie car.
I can identify with these guys.
These are all the guys that got wasted.
I can understand these guys.
These are the guys that got wasted.
Dog. These are the better dogs.
This is the tribe of Shaggy.
The 13th.
Yucky.
Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians?
We were right. Oh.
I mean, how many of you would have ever dreamed? Think of it. Think of your high place activities and what you now know as sin and what you now know as idolatry. How many of you would ever dream that those things were the things that were keeping you from life? They were the things that were giving you life.
Right. Well, at least they never looked like they were in the way.
That was a good thing.
I like those.
Oh, past tense.
I used to think they were good things.
Oh.
Now you're better.
Then I saw they weren't good things, and I don't think
that was the perception.
It's digital.
Yeah.
Why don't you explain what that means?
Well, earlier this morning, I thought that was a good thing. Now I don't.
It's like day by day.
It's like a rectal thermometer.
And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the deliverance or salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.
Where it says hold your peace, that's like be in full possession of peace.
Most of it, isn't that like the silence in the temple?
Yeah, shut your mouth and your mind knowledge.
Yeah, but it's not an act, it's a recognition.
You'll be in full
possession. You gotta recognize, they didn't have any other options.
Yeah, it's just really having what you already have. Seeing what you're...
Okay.
Like place.
Yeah, that's why I keep telling you, as long as you think there's an option, go do it. As long as you think there's an option, you bore me. I hate to be bored. You got something else to do that's going to bring it? You know, have you ever been around? One time I was real young. And in one of the hiatus, I thought I was a beatnik.
Yeah,
no. So they didn't do that.
I know, but it bugged you so.
Far out.
It'll turn very out.
Too many beatnik.
Anyway, you were a beatnik.
Anyway,
man.
I had a beer, big beer.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Groovy.
Yum.
But have you ever? I mean, there it was. Everybody, it was Greenwich Village. Most of the people who lived in Greenwich Village were out of work actors and actresses. And that's all I talked about is, man, when this happens, if only.
It sounds like magic. I mean, every day everybody gets off the air and talks about, if only this would happen, if only that. And it's boring.
Or you know, freshman or sophomore in college, you know, you sit around and look. Oh, God. When I grow up, what are you going to do when you grow up? Oh, I'm going to do this.
Oh, really?
I mean, do you see the stupidity of it? Do you see why you can't excuse it in your minds? All right. We're still not where we want to talk about yet.
But we're getting there.
Pretty good stuff.
No more forever.
It's like a shooting gallery.
Yeah. You're about to have a poker up your analog.
Digitally.
Digitally. Yeah, like that. Oh, there it
is. There it is.
And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou? Moses is up there. Moses is being a hairy, right?
That, by the way, would be analog. Oh.
anal retentable.
See, I have to take that out. Get it all fucked up.
And the Lord said unto me.
One of these days you're going to be cowed and attach a hot wire to that one. He touches it, he's going to fry.
You're going to be listening to yourself.
So Moses is up there and he's giving a speech.
Hear ye not, stand still.
And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his host and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now, this is what we're going to study. Listen carefully. And it came to pass, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to Egypt. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. From this moment forward, and forever, the only reason that you sense the cloud as a cloud is because God is saying to you, be ye renewed in that mindset that you're in, that by the act of what I have already accomplished, you shall see only light. No matter what situation you're in. Now that's the guidance. If it looks like a cloud, it's doubt and fear and unbelief and uncertainty and all the other adjectives that you can give. You wait, you do nothing. And when that cloud is transformed to brilliant light, then you move. The same exact situation. Analog or digital, the Egyptian in you, the Egyptian component where the evil one is still causing you to believe a lie, will cause you, or God will cause you to see that situation as darkness. But the Christ within you sees this situation, that situation, and all situations as pure light. So therefore, again, if you see the cloud, you stand still. You do nothing. Until that condition itself is transformed into light. Not that the circumstances change. You understand? Egypt will always see it as darkness. Israel will always see it as light. Same cloud.
That which maketh men.
That's enough for tonight. Take it, big guy.